Welcome, everyone, to the Kathy Lee Parker Show, the number one place for enlightened and entertaining guests, positive vibes, and information that is spot on. And now, for your listening pleasure, your host, Kathy Lee Parker.
Thank you for tuning in. Today with me in the studio, I have Ben Brownie. He's one of the owners of Skull Motor Works here in Utah, and they do marine water sports service maintenance and storage on boats and ski jets and all kinds of fun toys for the summer. Welcome, Ben, to my show.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how did you get involved in boats and skis and all that fun toys for the summer?
It actually stemmed from a lot of my hobbies. So I started Skull Motor Works about 2 years ago, and we do all the water sports, marine boats, jet skis, all the water toys. It kind of started from all my toys and projects, from motorcycles, classic cars, odds and ends projects. And I love doing projects, and that's kind of why I grew my business, because I'm working with customers and their projects and their toys.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little about the company as well, the goals that you have set for this, 2020.
So our 2020 goals and kicking off this first year is to launch a new program. One of our new programs is called the Captain Program, Captain's Program, and there's three tiers to that. What we do is basically you drop off your boat to our facility here at Marina Cove Storage, and we're a no-hassle facility. So you drop off your boat, whether it's dirty or clean or just been taken off the lake. What we'll do is go through, dry out all your toys, your accessories, like your life jackets. We'll wash them, dry them out, pull out all your ropes, organize your entire boat, wipe it down, and store it till you're ready again. Then you just give me a call, and I'm the owner, so it goes right direct to me. Give me a call. We pull your boat out. We put ice in the coolers. We make sure you're 100% ready to go, because most people know, with boats, everybody says it's a big hassle and it's a problem to pull out boats or any of your toys. Well, I don't like having a hassle or anything like that. So we take that away. We solve the problem of, hey, we're just going to make this fun. Drop off your boat. We'll take care of it. And then you just come pick it up and you go have fun.
You know, I noticed that I went by your place. You gave me a tour, and it is clean and nice, and yet you're the one all dirty and greasy. And I don't mean it like that, but like a maintenance guy. And yeah. But the place is clean. You know, I was really impressed. The waiting area was nice and comfortable, and you wait or get your boat picked up or, get it hooked up to your vehicle, truck or car. I mean, not car, because it would be more of a truck or an SUV.
Some people have small jet skis and stuff. They bring in little Subarus and all-wheel drive vehicles. They'll pull a jet ski or two.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a couple guys do that. Yeah, I pulled out a single jet ski, and the guy pulled up in a Subaru with a hitch, and I helped him hook it up, so it was great.
Mm-hmm. And why do we do, marine service, why we do marine service? Tell me that.
One of the reasons I like to do marine service is because it's fun. It's a new adventure in some things for me. I've got a lot of experience in the automotive world and with trucks and bikes. Hold on.
Uh-huh. Ben, tell me what size of boat can you tow or transport?
So primarily what we do is we tow and transport, and we'll even deliver some of the big 25-foot Malibu wake setter style boats. We can do some of the larger boats. Once they get to a certain size, they get into more of that large yacht size, where it just becomes a little more difficult. I mean, I can facilitate the transport of it, but mostly what we do is more of the toy boats, like the wake setter style.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And where is the best place to get LED lights and stereo for my boat?
So we can actually facilitate that. We have a lot of, and Skoll offers a large aspect of what we can do for your boat. So we can do the LED lights on your boat. We can reupholster your boat. We can do a recut and buff of the boat. I really like to do, and I enjoy doing upgrades on boats. When people get boats or projects or motorcycles or cars, you want to make it your own. You want to customize it and make it yours. Well, I love doing that type of thing for people. They come in, I want all black interior with green detailing or green LED lights. We can do all of that.
Wow. Where can I repair a crack in my fiberglass boat or my jet skis?
Yes. So we do have a lot of people that, not a lot, I shouldn't say, but we have people that will run aground, especially in Utah Lake, and they'll hit a crack or they'll have an impeller come off and they'll hit the back of their boat. We can do that. I've got the guys and a crew specially made for doing fiberglass repair. We've had guys that have run aground that put, a prop straight through the back of their boat, and it was just, it was pretty messy. It was the boat almost sank, but they were right in the harbor, so it was fine. But we can do that. We can pull the boat and hang it and take it completely care of.
Good. And, Ben, what happens if I break down on the lake? Or, you know what I mean, when I'm out there having fun, especially with my jet skis, and I'm all of a sudden, I just die and I'm out there nowhere and I'm having a heart attack.
So there are a lot of provisions in place to have on the lake. If you do break down, a lot of people, other boaters out there will help you get to the dock. And that's something you could call me to have me come out and check out your boat. If you're out on a lake and you end up getting to a harbor or dock out there, I can come out and take a look at your boat. We service a couple of the surrounding lakes, obviously Jordan L, Deer Creek, and Utah Lake. I can come down to any of those spots, especially for the guys in our captains program. We try to treat them like captains, and you say what you need, and we'll figure out a way to make sure that you're taken care of. We want our guys to just know that we're the one-stop shop.
Yeah, that's kind of freaky. I had that happen one time with somebody. We were on a houseboat out on Lake Powell. Lake Powell's down in southern Utah. For my listeners that are listening from California, and elsewhere. And we broke down, and it was a nightmare. And I'm like, oh my gosh! And we're like out in the middle of nowhere. We had to wait for somebody to come by. And I remember the cell phone. Somebody had it. It was a nightmare. It was died, and it was terrible.
So that's one of the things that we can help prevent too. A lot of people talk about boats stand for bust out another 1,000, and they're very expensive, especially like that instance where you're out in Lake Powell, and if you have a scare or a problem or something that should have been taken care of, that's something we do as well, doing proper preventative maintenance, just like a car. You want to get certain things on your car so it doesn't break down later on. Boats are the same way. I mean, bring them into us. I'll do all the service, so that way when you're out in the lake, you don't break down, or we try to prevent it too.
Okay, let's talk about the interior. I need to fix a few seats in my boat. And I have a small tear. Do you take care of that? Do you order the products in?
So we do. I have an in-house upholstery guy that will reupholster. Because a lot of these big, beautiful boats, these yachts have white interiors. You step on it, get grease on it, or you're barbecuing on the boat or something, and you tear it or melt it. We have in-house upholstery. We'll actually replace the entire cushion to match the factory color that you want inside the boat. Older boats, guys want full interiors. We can do that. We can pull out every single cushion. We can redo the interior. We can even do some graphics alongside of the boat to match that interior, so now you have your customization of your boat. So, we can do a couple cushions.
Okay. Now, tell me also, too, now, I never bought a boat before, and I'm going in. Would you help out when you go in to talk to the salesperson so the salesperson oversell you?
I've had people that have done that.
Like Ben, like you're looking for a used boat, but maybe not brand new, but a used. and you're nervous and you're going in there, oh my gosh, you know, everything looks beautiful on the inside, the interior, but what about the motor, the
Yes, and
battery?
so, yeah, like when you go buy your yacht, Kathy, I'll help you pick it out. We'll go get you a beautiful
Yeah,
one.
I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming.
Hey, it can all come true. I have had customers do that. I had a gentleman actually last fall that sold his boat, and he was storing with us because we have a huge facility, storing with us, and he brought another guy out, and he's like, "Ben, can you walk him through the boat?" And I walked him through the boat, showed him everything because he had a lot of technical questions. He ended up selling the boat to this gentleman, and then he's like, "I need a new boat." And I said to him, I was like, "Well, give me a call, man. I'll come up to somebody's house and check out a boat with you. We'll run it on a fake lake, and we'll make sure that it runs right, and you're not just taken advantage of." So a lot of our customers, I like doing that type of thing, making sure that then that boat comes back to us, and we just keep servicing it. And he knows I was there since the beginning, so we know everything about that boat. So yeah, I have helped a couple different customers purchase boats and preview them before they buy.
Do the boats come when you buy one? Do they give you like so much time to take it out on the lake and test it before you buy it, or do you have to buy it first?
I haven't seen that very normally. I have had guys that will take you out on Utah Lakes. Utah Lake, we're right next to the American Fork Marina. Guys will take their boat and a customer or somebody that wants to look at their boat and take it out on the water. If it is a used boat, it's kind of like a used car in some aspect, unless it's major. Sometimes you buy it as is. Buying from a dealership, like some of the larger dealerships in Utah, they have warranties. Just like a brand new car, but once it's outside that warranty, you can run into some issues that, I mean, you've got a lot of hours on the boat, so there's some wear and tear.
And what, tell me, what does a boat maintenance do? Tell me what do they do?
Boat maintenance.
Like
So,
maintaining the boat. Yeah. What do
okay.
you do? What is your, if I hired you and you were my regular maintenance guy, what would you do to my yacht? No, I'm just joking. But my boat, my small houseboat or
So they're kind of the same aspect as a car. You're going to have your oil changes and you're going to have your tune-ups that need to be done. A lot of these newer boats have a larger diesel motor, or they have a newer, almost like a V8 style motor if they're an inboard. You've got to go through, make sure that it's got oil, fresh oil, because you're going to be running it hot a lot of the time. Make sure the air filter is clean. Instead of a transmission, a lot of them have V drives. So you check your transmission, your V drive, all of your seals, ballast pumps, bilge pumps, all the electronics on the boat. You do have a vehicle that has a lot of electronics and oil out on water. Normally those don't mix well, so stuff can go out. So there is some regular maintenance, and that's what I mean by if you go out and you break down, those are things I can check. Make sure your oil's up. Make sure everything's nice and tight. Make sure everything's sealed still. Make sure you don't have any leaks. Bad thing is I've had customers come in and they're like, "Man, my pumps keep kicking on. I keep kicking out water, but I don't think I have a leak." His exhaust was actually leaking into the engine bay. So he was having
Wow.
problems there, and so I was able to fix that for him.
And tell me how to find a really good marine technician. So I didn't know you, and I was like, oh, I got this boat, yada yada, sales guy, and I bought it from somebody, and how do I find a really good marine technician?
It's just like any mechanic. There's 100 of them out there, but you're going to have your relationship, and you're going to be loyal to that one or two that you know you've worked with before. People
Right.
can find me on Google or my social media with Instagram and Facebook. I do a lot of posts, a lot of informational posts, kind of telling people about what we do and just general maintenance things. Sometimes maintenance on boats can be really hush hush, and I don't like to have that. I mean, more information out there, the better. I think asking questions to a mechanic to make sure he knows what he's talking about, for one, and then to kind of see the work that he does. I've gone into other jobs and seen how other people did repairs, and I'll go back and reverse everything they did and then restart back over. And that's one of the reasons why I started this is the way I do my projects. It's done right, and it's done right the first time. I'm very meticulous on how I do certain things and how I want it to look, feel, and drive. There's a lot of mechanics out there that can cut corners. I'm not saying they all do, but it can be nature of the beast. And I'd rather come forward to a customer, be very transparent. Hey, found this issue. What would you like to do? This could cost this amount, or it could cost this amount. I like to have the customers very involved in the knowledge of their boats and marine products.
Mm-hmm. How much will a boat mechanic cost me?
It kind of depends on the mechanic, if you're asking me. So our shop hourly rate is $120, and that kind of is if there's a job that we just don't know how long it could take, and I'm very clear with customers, like, hey, we're going to be 3-4 hours on this, and my shop rate is $120. This is what I think it's going to take, and if I start to go over that, I will give you a call. There are certain standards that we have as far as oil changes, tune-ups. I have a kind of a ballpark range for those customers. If they're just asking me, hey, how much is the tune-up on my Malibu LSV? Well, it's a supercharged motor with synthetic oil. It's a little more expensive. But there's certain set pricing, but it does change hourly.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, Ben, sit tight. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Thank you, Kathy.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Hidden Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Hidden Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
It's time to live your journey. Envision being stress-free. The Life Vessel is relaxation therapy that helps reduce stress, manage pain, detoxifies on all levels, supports the immune system, and balances hormones. Life Vessel uses an infrared light source that increases blood circulation and oxygen to the cells. Life Vessel of Utah does that and so much more. Call at 801-864-1300, lifevesselofutah.com.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
Hey, this is Rocktop Construction. Rocktop is a family-owned business based out of Utah. We specialize in replacing worn or storm-damaged roofs and understand how to assist homeowners with property claims. For reliable service and the best value on a quality and energy-efficient roof, call Rocktop Construction at 801-567-1234. We have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Again, that's 801-567-1234 to find out more about how we can protect your home.
If you or someone you know is looking to find the right business to buy, to franchise an existing successful business, or even to sell a business, contact businessresource.com. BIZNIS, businessresource.com. Business Resource also specializes in helping existing businesses find capital and other important resources to help them be more efficient and more effective. Call 385-528-8584 today. 385-528-8584. Businessresource.com.
I'm sitting here with Ben Brownie. He's the owner of Skull Motor Works here in Utah. Now, Ben, I have a question about the battery. How often should I replace a battery in my boat?
Batteries usually last because they have a shelf life, some of these batteries. They're usually anywhere from 3 to 4 years if they're not being properly taken care of. In the wintertime, what we do when I winterize, because here in Utah, you've got to winterize your boat just because it's not full season like Florida or California where it's beautiful. We pull the batteries, we put them on a tender, and that way the batteries stay all winter with the full charge. And when we go to summerize the boat, we put it back in, and the batteries will last longer with a full charge if they're ran continually. What you don't want to do is just leave the batteries in the boat and just let them drain all the way. That's a good way to take out a battery every year or every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And then also, and how long do they last about, depending on the type of battery? Is that correct?
Yeah, it really varies. I mean, I've had batteries for some of these guys that last 6-7 years because they take really good care of them. Yeah, they do a good job keeping them charged and pulling the batteries. But I've had guys that have date codes on these batteries. It lasts a year because they forget about it in the boat. They leave it on the side of their house, and they go to start it, and like, my battery's dead, and it's completely gone. I'm like, yeah, you got to take care of it.
No.
Yeah.
And what about, do you pull it out and take it in, or what do you do if I take it in to store my boat, your storage place?
Yeah, if you come here to Skull Motor Works, what we do is when I winterize your boat, I turn on the boat, I run coolant through the motor, and I get it completely ready to store. And then right before I store it, I actually shut everything off, flush everything out, and I pull those batteries after they now have a full charge. And we have a battery rack that they go on to. And then the boat gets put away in our inside facility. So it's put away. It's nice and protected from the elements. But all those batteries have my customers' names on them. And they're tagged, then they get charges throughout the winter. So they're sitting there with full charges being maintained.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Really good. I like that. Because I've always wondered about that. And I see people who have boats on the side of their house, which is nice and it's wrapped up and everything is on the side, And I'm like, I always wondered what happens to the battery.
Yeah.
How do they take care of it?
And I have a couple customers that actually bring their you don't just have to come to me just for the storage. We do full service marine, so I can work on your boat or anything, and you can take it right back to your house and store it there over the winter. I have a good amount of customers that do that too. I just outline them on best practices. If we wrap your boat, this is what I recommend. If I give you back your boat, I'm giving your batteries as well, and I'll tell people, hey, make sure you put them in your garage or even inside. It's better. Don't put them on the concrete floor. Put them on like a pallet or on a shelf. And just put a little battery tender on them and make sure they're charged all winter long. And then they'll bring the boat and the batteries back to me like now, it's March, and I'll put them back in the boat for them and make sure they're ready to go.
Wow, that's really nice. But just to let everybody know, your storage unit is absolutely beautiful. It's nice and safe. And I saw a small yacht in there, but, too bad it's not mine. But anyway, you keep things pretty, you got millions of dollars worth of boats and jet skis. And
we do. We do. Our facility is pretty huge. We have, because I have partnered with a boat and RV storage facility. That's actually my business partner that owns Skull with me, does storage. And we have 2 30,000 square foot buildings that are all boat and RV storage. And
I never saw that.
Yeah. And then when I showed you everything and I showed you around, we packed the boats in, and only me and my employees are allowed in there. It's very secure. We're in there all throughout winter every day, checking things, making sure everything's nice and tidy, and just make sure all those boats are taken care of.
Just want to let everybody know I wasn't allowed in there. So I got to stick my head in. But other than that, you had the tight security. So there is tight security all the way around.
Yes.
Good, good. Now, how often should I bring my boat in for service when I have it out there?
It depends on how often you use it. Boats are regulated by their hourly use, not by miles. Like your car, every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, you want to bring it in for an oil change. Boats are hourly. So I usually say about every 50 hours to 75 hours, depending on what oil you're running. You need to do an oil change on it. And just to make sure everything's still going great on it. I have customers that will come in a lot more frequent than their 50-hour services or their 75-hour for the oil changes, because they store with me and they leave their boat here. They're like, oh, man, I broke this, or I'm having a problem with this tank. It's not filling with water. Can you check it out? And then I'll go through and I'll check everything when I do that, when I do a repair. I'll check the oil almost every time just to make sure not low or having a problem.
Wow, I didn't know about, like, so 50 hours. I got friends that live on Lake Powell through the summer. You know, that's like 3 to 4 months out there on the lake, and they're skiing every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So what if the boat is just sitting there, you know? Is it still needs to be maintenance as well?
If it's going to sit for a long period of time, like you're leaving it in the water, there are ways to winterize it so it can still sit. There's things you have to do to the fuel. You got to put stabilizer cleaner in it. For people that are going out to, like, Lake Powell, they stay there all summer long. Those boats still need to be maintained. They still need to have oil changes done, especially if you're running it every single day. I have customers here that go out to Powell or drive out to Powell every other weekend. But once a month, they'll bring their boat back to me and have me go through it, fix anything that they did, fix any dings, especially because you're playing hard in Lake Powell. If they hit another boat or the dock or something, we'll do those repairs over a long weekend for them so that they can be right back at it the next week.
If it's just sitting there, does it go for the hours?
Sorry, to answer that, it has to be on and running. So, yeah, if it's just sitting there, that's not the hours. It's boat on and then out skiing and driving it around. Those are the hours that it counts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Say, for example, should I refurnish or sell my boat?
Personal preference. I drive a 06 Silverado truck, and if I wanted a new one, I could do that, or I could just rebuild this one. Same thing with the boat. I've got some customers that have an older boat, and they absolutely love it, and I just maintain them. I've got a customer here that's got a 1960 Sea Ray, and he loves it. And I've cut and buffed it. I've gone through the motor. He's like, dude, I'm going to keep this forever. Just make sure it runs forever. And I love doing that. But then I also have other customers.
Yeah? Ben, does it go on the miles? What about the miles? You know how that car has miles and miles?
Yeah.
Does it? You know, you just watch the miles that you're putting on the boat. Is that correct?
Yeah. So if you're watching the miles and you just stay with your oil changes, you should be fine. I have had customers where you had to pull a motor and put a new motor in. They've got a big, beautiful twin motor yacht, and you got a lot of miles on one motor or both. I'll pull those motors and put new ones in.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Like, really? Is a motor really? Well, I've seen you work on one. It looked pretty big to me, but are they really huge in? Tell me the average size of for a family of, you know, four, you know. Of course, maybe that's a preference of the boat, but give me an average size of a boat.
That's another gamble, too. It kind of depends on what you want to use it for and how you like to use it. If you like to fish off of it, you're not going to use, like, a Malibu.
Oh. So what about, just fishing, like, I know a lot of guys too, friends that love the fish and stuff like that, but they don't fish here. They're like in South Carolina or someplace out there where they're, you know, where the fishing's great. Santee, South Carolina is the best fishing in the United States, but anyway, it's one of the best places, one of the best, because I know people say there's other places, but anyway, they take their boats out. What about keeping it clean when it's on the water? You know what I mean? Do you have to pull it up and just really spray it down? What do you need to do?
There's a lot of different products out there, and obviously being in the industry, we've tested a lot of products as far as water spot removal, interior wipe downs. It depends on the type of boat and the fabric on the inside. Customers can get very loyal to different brands, and I have customers here like, hey, I only use F11 on the outside of my boat. I want you to use that when you use the outside of the boat. We have a brand new Malibu, and the customer's very pointed with only use bead maker. I only want this product inside and out, and we'll do that for them. Each one of the boats has a list of products that they want us to use and specifications of what the customer wants. You do need to wipe down and take care of it just like a car. Like your car, you want it waxed and you want it taken care of, and you might be very specific on that.
What type of problems or issues people have when they're on the lake, you know, with their boat?
Problems and issues on the lake, they've had overheating. It's actually a pretty common one if people are not paying attention to their boat. Your car has a radiator that regulates the heat on the motor. Boats actually cycle in water. They pull in water, cools the motor down, and then cycles all that water back out. There's a part in there called an impeller, and what that impeller does is it wears out. If it wears out, the boat's not sucking up water. It's not cooling down, so it starts to overheat. I've seen that's a pretty common one because people just don't think about it. Overheating, buoy problems, a lot of body problems with hitting buoys or rubbing against the rails. Or breaking or hitting certain things. You got a newer driver comes up to a dock and just slams the nose right into it. Some damage on the bump rail for sure on some of these newer captains.
Uh-huh. Interesting. How often, you know, you said 50 miles. Is that a day that I put on the boat, or should I put that on a week? Well, that should be about a week, right? 50 miles.
50 hours.
50 hours.
It depends on, it really depends on the driver. I go down and do a couple pal trips every year, and we take my buddy's brand new Malibu.
Yeah.
And we're out, sun's up. We're out there all day till the sun's down.
Oh, that's good to know. I have friends that are waiting to meet you that have boats down in Lake Powell. Do you ever go up to Bear Lake, everybody? Bear Lake's north of Utah. Mm-hmm. It's also beautiful up there as well. Big, huge, beautiful lake.
Gorgeous. And, that's a gorgeous lake.
Yeah. Do you ever take a trip up there as well to help out?
I usually don't. I've had customers that have houses up in Bear Lake that bring their boats down here, and when they're down here, I do service them. And I store a couple of them over the winter for them. Bear Lake's a little bit further out there. I usually don't go up there to do services just because just outside my area. But I wouldn't be opposed to it. If somebody needed something, I'd make a trip out there and sit on a boat for a day and help them out.
Tell me the, let's talk about skis, you know, for the skiing on the water and stuff. Tell me any issues that come up that people need to be aware of with their ski jets.
Safety, I think, is the biggest one when it comes to wakeboarding, wake surfing, skiing, pulling inner tubes. Usually it's so much fun and you're thinking about the people behind you. You're not thinking about the people in front of you. There's other people that are doing the same thing. You're swerving out there. Not everybody's just going in a straight line. So everybody's swerving, trying not to hit each other, especially in Powell. You need to be very aware of your wake and what you're doing as a captain of that boat. When you're on the ski, you're just having fun and you're sliding back and forth and you're just enjoying it. But as the captain and people inside the boat, they need to be looking out for everybody else on the water, trying to have fun, stay safe. I think that's the biggest thing. Mechanically, making sure that your ropes and all your equipment is damaged and well maintained. If you take a rope, you throw it, it's wet and it gets mold on it, or if it's cut because it hit something, and you go to pull somebody on a ski and they rip out and they could get hurt from that.
Wow. And what's the maintenance with the skis? Is it the same thing as a boat?
With the skis, like with your boards and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Like you have to have the oil, get an oil change or anything like that on it.
Oh, are you talking, you're talking jet skis?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I was thinking like what you're pulling behind the boat. With the jet skis, they are so much fun. I personally love jet skis. I love Sea-Doos. That's kind of my bread and butter. They're the same thing. They're the same thing as a boat, just much smaller. You want to make sure it's lubricated, maintained, oil changes. I do a lot of jet skis and Yamahas that come through, and little wave runners, because they're a blast, and people play on those hard. So they roll.
Yeah, wave runners.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wave runners, people play really hard on those.
Yes, they do.
Do they have like so many hours as well with their oil change and like a boat would have?
They do. So they're hourly. It's an hourly thing as well, because that's the only way to regulate when they need oil changes or need to be gone through. People don't usually use the jet skis as much as they're going to use their boat. Just, I think it's partially just because you're taking the boat out, you're taking everybody out, where jet skis might just be one or two. But they are still hourly regulated, and you want to make sure they're maintained and taken care of, because you are much smaller on the water. You don't want to break down or have a problem to be stuck out there if you're by yourself in the middle of the lake.
Right. Correct. Now, if I was going to buy a jet ski or a wave runner, where would I go? Where would I go to? I mean, yeah, there's dealers and stuff out there, but same thing. Would you come and help and just to make sure that, hey, we're getting the right skis, or is that not as much as getting the boat?
Yeah, so jet skis are actually a lot easier to run and run those motors outside of the water. You just need a hose. Some of the boats can just be a little more of a hassle, but I've done that before. They just want to see that they run, start up, that they're there's no leaks, there's no oil leaks, especially with some of the other older skis. I've done that before. It's worthwhile to have somebody take a look and check them out. If they are much older, I can give recommendations. I've had people call me and say, hey, I've got a jet, or this guy wants to sell me two jet skis, but one of them's got this leak. Can you come take a look at it? And then I'll give my advice and say, hey, this is what it would cost to fix. So what if you got the price minus this? And then they're like, okay, I feel much better about it. And I'll help out with that.
Hey, Ben, do you have a couple jet skis and boats and stuff as well?
I'm in between. I am actually shopping myself right now for two Sea-Doos. Wife didn't want to do the boat thing anymore, and she wanted to have jet skis. I got her on those at Powell last year, so she fell in love and wants to go down to the Sea-Doos.
Do you recommend, I mean, what's the difference between just a regular, you know, like boat for going skiing and stuff, and then a houseboat? I hear people talk about houseboats.
Yeah, so houseboats are a lot different. They're just a different beast in all. You have a giant barge that's now got a house on top of them, and some of these big, beautiful bravadas you'll find out on the lakes that are the kings of the water. They do have some of the same engines. They have big diesel engines. They have an entire engine bay. They're just a lot slower. There's a lot more to them. There can be multiple generators and multiple engines on those that need to be maintained. They're a lot more scary if something does go wrong. If you're steering into the harbor or into a passage where you need to have full thrust forward, and you have a motor that keeps overheating or cutting out, you could have a major problem where you could be hitting somebody else with their $1 million boat, yacht, or houseboat. Houseboats need to be maintained. You also don't want that investment sinking to the bottom of Powell if you have a hull problem.
Yeah. What do you do when you do have something like that happen and your boat's starting to sink? You know, what do you do when the boats are to sink? Does it sink fat? I mean, have you ever had somebody call you in panic over that? Hey, my boat's sinking.
Boats can sink. Boats can have problems, especially houseboats. If you've got a leak that's just coming into your hull, what you want to do is just
it's sinking, but it hasn't sunk.
Yeah, if you are sinking, then you want to head to land.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's talk about, because I know a lot of people cannot buy, many of the listeners probably cannot buy a brand new boat, but how do they go shopping for, you know, hey, I want a boat so bad, and what size should I get, 37, 42 range, or around 30 or 60? I mean, you know, tell me, you know.
It's
the size of the boat.
It's up to preference. It's related to more of our daily thing. I mean, it's sometimes it's the difference between a Prius and a truck and a Corvette. It all depends on what you're going to use it for and what you think you can handle. If you're a brand new boater and you just want to test out the market, I mean, you could do a decent little 15 to 20 footer or Sea Ray, and that's got some years on it, and put some money and time into it, make it look really nice, and take it out and see if you even like boating. I don't think boating is for everyone. It's something you have to be good at. You can't just jump out in the water and go boating. You need to be educated. You need to know what you're going to do. So getting one of these older boats is not a bad thing for your first time buyer. Buying a brand new $230,000 Malibu, that's a large purchase for some people, and don't make that if you don't like boating, you know. So some of these smaller boats, they're just fine, and they're safer to go that route. If you want to do a yacht, that's a bit, very large boat. You need to know how to be a boater and be a proper captain to drive something like that and operate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I had some friends who literally lived on a yacht. Mm-hmm. they sold their house and they went around the world on a yacht, and they saw many amazing things. Mm-hmm. They lived on that. But anyway, make a long story short, you know, I guess every area, like we're in Utah, what usually gathers at the bottom of the boat? You know, because you got to keep them clean, right?
Yeah, you've got to keep them clean for sure. That's going to be a major looks thing. Most people here go to Powell. Powell has a problem with mussels, so that's why you cannot jump from one lake to another. If you leave one of those boats in the water, like houseboat in the water, you get a lot of mussels that will build up on the inside of the motor, on the hull. It causes all sorts of problems with drag and just hull integrity and takes out a motor. Here in Utah, if you're not going to Powell, and most of it is just water, left on water that's going to be hitting the boat. It's not like salt water here where you're going to damage it. If you do go to Utah Lake, which is a beautiful lake, we go out on Utah Lake all the time, hitting sand barges or hitting things, you're going to scratch up your gel coat. You're really going to damage it. Coming to a dock or pulling your boat out, you could hit your boat there. Those are probably the major things for a hull that you're going to have an issue with.
Mm. Mussels is nasty down the lake, but I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that sounds creepy. Ew. Yeah. So once I take my boat down there, and then if I bring it back to you, store it, you clean it, get all that stuff off there for me, right?
Yes. Yes. There are different rules and regulations that you have to do if you do go to Powell. There's a cleaner. It's a very high temperature cleaner that you have to have your boat sprayed off with, so it neutralizes all the mussels so they don't spread, or you have to have the boat out of the water for 30 days, and that has to be tracked.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Unbelievable. That's it. And then in the salt lake, in the salt, and that's different too. You said that's really different as well.
Yeah, I don't know very many, if at all, any people that actually take their boats out on the Great Salt Lake. It's very hard on boats, unless you have a special type of boat that wants to go out there. It's a metal hull. Yeah, people just don't go out to the Great Salt Lake.
Wow. Is it because of the salt water?
Yeah, it's just not the most desirable body of water. It's a lot of salt, which is not good to swim or go into or have on you. It's just not the funnest lake. I wish it was, because it's so huge, but you just don't go boat on it just because it's not like the ocean where it's beautiful and clear and it's gorgeous and there's all this life out there. The Great Salt Lake has such a high salt content, and it's just not something you would go out on normally.
Interesting, because the Atlantic, have you ever been to the Atlantic Ocean?
I've not been to the Atlantic, no.
Yeah, it's like salt, too. It's a lot of salt. So, yeah it's the same thing. Not as like Salt Lake, you know, but it has that issue, too. What about down, like, have you been to Florida where clear water, where the water is really clear? And is that pretty good to take a boat out there?
Yeah, I mean, you can take your boat out in the ocean, and that's fine. It's just the salt lake's just not desirable. But the salt and everything going out in the ocean, I'm from the Northwest in Portland, and we go out to the coast, and boats can go out there. You do have salt deposits, and you just do, not deposits, but you'll have salt that gets on the boat. They tend to wear on metal a lot quicker. It's just a different beast that we don't have to really fight here because we have a lot of fresh water.
Wow. Good. Good. That's interesting. Have you ever rebuilt a boat, you know, from motor to interior to everything inside? Have you ever took something apart and rebuilt that boat?
So a full breakdown of a boat, I've not done that, nor wanted to or gone that direction. I have done motor swaps and interior changes, gutting in a boat entirely and building it from the ground up. Not very many people do it, just because it's not like a car where you'd have a classic car necessarily redo the entire boat. I have done major repairs where, like I said, we're pulling the motor, putting new pumps in, new seats, new upholstery, new electrical, different projects here and there, and a lot of upgrades. Like I said, a lot of people just do upgrades to their boat, whether they want a bigger motor, or sound system, or new rails, or things like that.
Now, if I wanted to tow my boat, what type of vehicle do I need? Does it depend on the size of the boat?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, it totally does.
Okay.
So these guys with these 15-foot Sea Rays and smaller boats, like little fishing boats, you really don't need much to pull them around. Even, like I said, with my guy with a jet ski, he has a little Subaru that he pulls one jet ski, and it's just fine. It's fine for him. But my business partner has a 2018 Malibu, 25-footer, and he's got a S350 giant lifted truck that pulls that boat around. You just want to make sure that that's safe, too. You don't want to try to tow a boat, even though, hey, my little truck can pull this boat, but is it safe? You don't want to dump your boat. You don't want to have your trailer slide out or have you hit somebody else or not be able to pull your boat out of the water. You want to make sure that
right.
the vehicle pulling the boat matches the boat.
Would you help somebody, you know, like they store and everything, they come in to your storage, you know, you help them load it up onto the vehicle, right, the truck and stuff?
Yeah, so we have a lot of customers that will do that. When we actually store our boats inside of our warehouse, nobody's allowed to drive in our warehouse, not even with us sitting there watching. We use our forklift, which is a very mm-hmm. large forklift, to pull their boat out and put it in front of our facility. And then when the customer does come, we always have somebody, whether it's me or one of my employees, walk out there, hook it up, hitch it, lock it, make sure it's 100% good to go. That way, when they leave, they know, even if they're an experienced captain, we still have a guy just standing there watching, mm-hmm. making sure that it's done right. You know, people miss things.
Mm-hmm.
So we do help with that.
Sure. That's good. That's good. I like the fact that you when you store the boat, you take the battery out and you keep that charged. That's and with the name and everything on it and mm-hmm. and everything. So that's good. And yeah, you help those that wanted to keep the side of their house and all that mm-hmm. stuff, you know, and teach them how to take the battery out. Don't put it on cement. Put it on a shelf or something and to keep it running. Now, are these batteries really huge or anything? They take a lot of space.
Not usually. Most of them are the automotive style batteries. They're somewhere around that size. Houseboats will use some 6-volt batteries. They're very large, very deep, very heavy. But a lot of these, the boats that I deal with here, even some of the smaller yachts, use regular size automotive style batteries. They're deep cell. Some of them are deep cell marine grade batteries. They're about the same size. Might be a little wider, a little deeper, but they're not crazy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And also, too, another thing, too, about your storage space, you store RVs. I remember you also showed me a huge RV that was stored
yeah.
in there. And I remember, I just let everybody know, I just peeked my head in. I was not allowed in because of insurance and the security of everyone's boats and RVs, but you had one that was so huge. I never saw anything so big, but I never saw the end or the beginning. But anyway, just let everybody that you do store RVs. And it's the same thing. You pull them out and get them ready. Is that correct?
Yes. So we do a lot of RVs. We do the fifth wheel trailers. The one that you saw was at our large Momentum. We have a customer that we got four or five customers that have very large 42 Momentums. We have storage, individual storage buildings that they can put their RVs that'll fit inside those 14 by 50 foot units or inside of our warehouse, and we'll pull those in and out for them all the time. We do service those. I've had guys that have broken plastic or lines or things, or even the ones that have motors, the full RVs, we'll do the tune-ups on them. We'll do tune-ups, oil changes, make sure they're good to go, check the tires on them. We want to be a full service shop, and that's what we are. We offer everything. So with the RVs and the marine side, we can pretty much do it all.
Okay. And also to let everybody know where to call you and everything, your shop hours and everything.
Okay. So our location is right next to the American Fork Marina. It's 22 East, 1500 South, American Fork, 84003. The best way to find us is to, one of the best ways, you can either Google Skoll Motorworks. It's S-K-O-L, Motorworks, or Marina Cove Storage. My partner's Marina Cove Storage. That's why we have these big facilities and we're able to do what we do. That's a really easy way for people to find us. Go ahead.
Just let everybody know, the storage units are huge. I never saw anything so big in my life. If you got a motorhome that's three stories up, and I'm just joking, two stories up, you know that's a place to put it in.
Because there's nothing too big for us that we can't store. Like I said, some of our biggest individual units are 14 feet by 50. We can stick some huge RVs in there. And then our warehouses are both, I have two of them, two 30,000 square foot buildings. They're basically aircraft hangars. We joke about trying to fly in between them.
Wow. And next, you know, you'd be storing airplanes. Oh, just joking. But anyway, I just wanted to say that this was a good interview. And I learned a lot about boats that I didn't even know about. And another thing I wanted to ask you, these boats, you said you talk about diesel. Now, does it take a lot to fill up the boats with gas, diesel gas? Is that what you're talking about? These tanks, are they really huge?
So that's a big variable. Some of the smaller boats have smaller tanks. Some of the bigger ones have huge tanks, and they're very expensive to fill.
I just want to thank you, Ben, for coming on. And for anybody who wants to get a hold of him, can I give out your number?
Oh, yes, please. You can reach me on my cell or any of my social media or my website. Just type in Skoll Motorworks, S-K-O-L, Motorworks, Instagram, Facebook, Google, my webpage, or my cell phone. And it is my cell phone.
Yeah. Yes, the cell phone number is 801-358-5002. And Ben, thank you so much for coming on, and you have a great evening. And I do want to invite you back for, you know, in the fall to talk about this, you know, storing all this stuff, you know, your toys and what to do and get them ready and all that fun stuff.
Okay? Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love it. This has been a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and you guys have a great evening.